with Thursday's high in the mid-80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for some good old sports talk. And we got you covered today. A lot of headlines to discuss. Shout out to Reed, who's back behind the glass. It's been a minute, Reed. How have you been, man? I think you were on vacation, right? I hadn't seen you in a while. I forgot what it is to see Reed behind the glass. So welcome back, Reed.
Well, no, I appreciate it, Christian. And no, it was really good. Spending, you know, my time for my 21st birthday was great. Just enjoyed it around some family and friends. And what a day, you know, that my 21st birthday was. But, you know, going to today, you know, I don't know if the chat or the listeners know, but Christian Miller turning the big 3-0, 30 years old today.
Oh, man, come on, man. You can't tell on me, man. I'm getting old, man. No, I'm playing. Thank you so much. No, I appreciate it. And happy belated birthday to you. You turned the big 21, man. That's a big birthday, Reed. You said you had quite a day. You mind sharing? Did you do anything big for the big 2-1? Now, if anything wild happened, you can
pull that one close
to the vest. Now, it's 21, man. I'm just saying, I'm not going to judge you.
Nothing crazy. I really just made some food with my family and really just I'm a big guy in like family time, so really got off our screens and just like enjoyed some games that we did, and it was just really good overall.
You sound like me, man. You sound like me. Matter of fact, I think for my 21st birthday, if I remember correctly, I think because I was living over, because I was in school here, and I think I was living over in that Midtown area. I think we walked over to, there was like a bar and grill. It was like a restaurant. I think I might have ordered like a Corona. Now, I'm just going to tell myself, I already tried some alcohol before that. It was not like my first ever drink, but it was very simple. I think there's a picture of like me, my dad, my brother kind of sitting there at the bar, which it literally was like just ordered one drink, kind of just said, hey, you got to do it. You turn 21. And then I think we might have, I don't know, kind of did the same thing, just kind of hung out. I've never been a big like, hey, man, we're going to throw this party. We're going to do this. I'm trying to get better about it. I've never been a big birthday type of person. I've always kind of, you know, it's a blessing for sure. I want to be clear about that. But to me, I'm like, you know, it's another day. I don't want to sit there. And I don't know. I don't like everything being about me. I get weird about it, man. So that's probably part of it. But I'm trying to do a better job of really enjoying and embracing it, because it really is a blessing, man. And maybe it's just because I've been reading more news than usual. But you look out and you see all these headlines and all these things that go on, man. And you really should slow down sometimes and say it really is a blessing. Every day you wake up, right? I mean, just to have an opportunity. I think sometimes we kind of get caught up in our lives, which move fast. We typically have a lot of stuff going on, right? Whether it's, you know, with family, whether it's with sports or professionally. I think sometimes we forget, man, just all the little things we should just be grateful for and appreciative each and every day. And I try to do that. I'll be honest with you. I do. I'm a very, you know, simple person as it is. I think anybody that knows me knows. I mean, I'm about as simple as it gets. But even then, I still think I should slow down a little bit more. So today I do really feel that, because I'm like, man, you think about 30, you know, it's kind of crazy when you say it, Reed, because I'm like, it feels like yesterday. I just was turning 21. I'm not trying to get on here and sound like unk, you know, but to be honest with you, I'm serious, man. It's crazy how time flies. So I guess my birthday advice for anybody out there, man, slow down, enjoy the moment, be present, like you said, whether it's with your family, hell, dogs. I mean, my dogs are like my best friends, right? Whether it's same dogs here. Whether it's, yeah, you know what I mean? Hell, my friends that I play video games with overseas, you know, I'm appreciative for them. Just stuff like that, man. It's just little moments like that I think we all can be grateful for as we all kind of go through this thing called life together. So thank you, Reed, and everybody else in the chat and everybody that has wished me a happy birthday. I got to get back with a number of folks that have texted me this morning. It was really cool to wake up to that. To be honest with you, my phone died, so I felt bad. Hopefully it wasn't going green for some folks, but as soon as I put it on the charger, you know, I had some messages rolling in, so I need to circle back and say my thanks. But enough about me. Thank you guys so much. We got to talk some sports, man. A couple things that are headlining today that we'll discuss here on the show, Reed. Number one, Alabama baseball, right? That was a tough one. Little tough one to watch, man. I tuned in. Again, we got off the show a little early yesterday, about 15 minutes or so. Wasn't a big deal. Tuned into that. I had it pulled up, Reed. I was sitting there watching it at the desk here in the Lamparilla Law Studios. And, man, you know, the first game was already tough. 9-0, as we say in the soccer world. You got the World Cup going on. Sorry. That was, you know, unfortunate. But you're like, all right, you know, we just got to get our footing, put it behind us. Hopefully we can, you know, come back and respond the right way. But didn't do that, Reed. Didn't do that. Ended up losing pretty much even worse. Against Texas, which it feels like Texas just had our number recently, Reed. I mean, I hate to say that because I already know Digger's probably over there laughing and rolling around and smiling, hooting, hollering, all that good stuff. But, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. Texas has been kind of doing their big one in the postseason. I feel like with us, too, it feels like they've kind of had our number a little bit. But it is what it is with that. I do want to say shout-out to our baseball team. You know, I said this yesterday. That I don't mean this in any way of disrespect or anything, but almost felt like we were playing with a little bit of house money. Not saying they weren't expected to get there, but let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, they did some really good things this season. They also had a few low moments, right? I think it was a Troy that they might, not Troy, or South Alabama they had lost to in a midweek game. People were kind of frustrated about that. They responded, and you know, listen, they made it to Omaha for the first time in 27 years. I mean, I think that in itself deserves a huge round of applause, right? They at least got there. I understand the frustration that fans might have because it does feel like, man, you know, football, we get to the playoffs, we get blown out by Indiana. Baseball, man, we get there, we get blown out in two games, by Oklahoma and by Texas. But listen, I think the positive from this, Reed, is now you got yet another sport that people are starting to take a little bit more serious, which kind of is a blessing and a curse if you're thinking about it. The only reason I say it would be a curse is as much as we talk about NIL. I had this question, Reed, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit because we definitely got to talk some about Sorsby and all that, plus anticipate getting Mr. Clint Lamb and Cover Crimson here on the top of the hour. But I've seen a lot of people talk about this. Hey, man, you got your coach in Rob Vaughn, right? You feel really good about him. JJ, pitching coach, I mean, they've done a really phenomenal job. But when you compare our roster to other teams, a lot of people said, I mean, to be fair, we probably don't have the same level of talent as some of these other programs. Well, you got a lot of the other pieces in place. Could it be that we needed to start allocating a little bit more money to baseball? I mean, I'm sure they probably need it regardless. But here's the problem, Reed. They typically don't make money. I'm pretty sure they're also one of the negative sports. And two, we got a football program that's going to eat up a bunch of that. And also a basketball program with Nate Oates. And don't forget about softball over there. So I almost feel like Alabama's kind of in an interesting spot where it's a huge blessing that we have so many sports that are excelling and doing so many great things. But on the other end of that, it does feel like it's a little bit of a challenge, Reed, because we're already saying, hey, football, we're looking at recruiting. And we're saying, man, I understand we're taking a smaller class, but it's clear that we're being a little bit wiser with how we spend, which I think makes total sense. Then you look at schools like Texas or Ohio State or Oregon, Reed, and you're like, man, they don't really seem to be having to make those decisions on, hey, we're going to anticipate spending more on retention, so we're going to cut back on high school spending. No, with others, in fact, it feels like there's no cutback anywhere. It's there. Hey, we're going to spend in high school here. All right, we're going to ramp up in the portal here. Oh, we're going to pay this guy to retain him. And I just feel like it's a little bit tough of a decision. But that's why you got guys like Greg Byrne. You know, it's his job to figure that part out. But I say all that to say shout out to baseball. Definitely not the result we wanted. Definitely not the performances I don't even think they wanted, right? Definitely probably not their best showing. But the fact that they showed up in Omaha for the first time in 27 years, deserves a round of applause. Congratulate those guys on a great season. Hopefully we can build off of that because I think people got to see some excitement with baseball. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, maybe attracted a few more people. I mean, we saw the turnout for the Supers. Hopefully we can start recreating that. But I even saw people saying this, Reed, it's kind of interesting. They're saying maybe Justin LeBron should consider coming back, tune some things up. I just feel like when you're projected to be a first-round pick, I know baseball is a little bit different than football, but still, I mean, that's kind of hard to turn down. You have any thoughts on that before we hit this this first break?
Yeah, no, Christian, I think I'm with you. I think that'd be very hard to turn down, especially where he was projected. Now, heading into the season, I saw a lot of, like, top 10 area, like, easy, heading into the season. And, of course, I know there were some errors, especially early on in the season, that, you know, I feel like he kind of fixated toward the tail end of the season. But still, I feel like he is still a solidified first-round pick.
I would imagine so. Now, I'm not a baseball expert, but from what I saw out of him this season, the limited amount of his games that I did, in fact, watch, I mean, did he probably drop some from that initial? Like, I was hearing even, like, top five. Like, I mean, like, people were ecstatic about him going into the season. He probably dropped off some, but I don't think enough to say, he probably should come back. Now, if he does come back, which I don't think he probably does, but I don't think it probably would hurt him. Right, I mean, you got NIL nowadays. You can fine tune your game, but personally, I just believe it's kind of like Coach Saban's method, man. If you have a first round grade, you might as well go on and do what you got to do and explore the next level. And we know he's a special player; he's going to be, you know, good regardless. But I just saw people talk about that. I'm like, that's kind of interesting. I mean, could he decide to come back? I mean, if we're talking about more NIL resources, that's definitely going to probably have to be a factor if you're getting a guy like that to return. But shout out to baseball. Not the result we wanted. 14-2 loss yesterday in that elimination game against Texas. But hopefully we can build off of that going into next season. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we'll keep talking. Maybe we'll hear a little bit from Ryle Bond briefly, just his presser from the game, kind of put a bow on that. And we got to talk about the Sorsby situation, Reed, because it took a pretty interesting turn last night. A turn that I don't think anybody really saw coming. But all of a sudden, man, there was a huge update that we have to discuss, because we were talking about Sorsby yesterday and how the Big 12 was finally taking action. Well, maybe they took action without even taking action. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Compact tractors sell in soon. Stop by Tuscaloosa Tractor at 3921 Skyland Boulevard East or go to Kubota.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Hey, y'all, this is Alabama offensive lineman William Sanders, and you're listening to Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a special guest back here on the show. It's been quite some time.
Take exit 29 for I-20.
And by those directions, you probably can guess who it is. We got the Pastor of Pain back on the show, making his way back home from Tuscaloosa. He stopped by. He had a golf tournament he played in Mississippi and ended up coming and hanging out. Worked out perfectly. Got to, like Reed had mentioned, doing birthday dinners with family. He actually got on the grill last night, man. He did his thing. I got to give him props, man. I forgot that he actually can cook a little bit. Normally it's Maya Wana who's in the passenger seat there hanging out with him. But normally she's the one throwing down. That's right. It's normally Aunt Wana throwing down. But he can cook a little bit. I'll give him his credit. He hopped on my Traeger last night. Steaks, they were great. Seasoned good, cooked really good. He did the salmon though. He cooked a big old slab of salmon. It was really good. I'll give him his credit on that for sure. They wanted some pasta, and we had some corn. They smoked some corn. So it's a great birthday dinner, by the way. So thank you guys again for coming, hanging out, and making that awesome meal. Now, welcome back in. I know it's been a minute, man. So tell the people what's up, man. I know they've been asking about you over the last couple weeks, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've been busy. Knocking out these few tournaments. I was with your teammate last week, Sunday, Monday, Greg Olson, who won the top, he won it, I don't know what they call it, Emmy or whatever they call for best TV personality, beat out Tom Brady, which you took his place as the number one guy on Fox. So I was with your old Carolina Panther teammate, Greg Olson, and Wednesday I did a free camp in Greenville, South Carolina. That was a success. Hopped in the car, drove to stopped at you on Wednesday, got in the car Thursday, drove to Mississippi, was there 3 days, and back to you for 2.5 days, and back home. So then I got one more camp to do, then I'm pretty much off for the summer. But stay tuned. The book is finished. It's getting worked on right now. I get the rough draft when I get home. From the Gridiron to the Gospel is a book that I've written. So I ain't said nothing about it, but the last year and some change, I've been working on my first book, and so it hopefully be released by the end of the summer. So that's what I've been doing, and I think this book's gonna be a big hit, gonna help a lot of people, and just based about my life and how God took me from Gridiron, from the streets and fields of Paisley, South Carolina, to the turf field and the Meadowlands in New York City, back to Columbia, South Carolina, to the pulpit. And so it's going to be pretty good.
Definitely looking forward to that. So it sounds like you're getting your J.K. Rowling on. I wasn't aware that you were writing a book, but I got to ask you, because last time I checked out, my mom was doing your schoolwork in college. You just magically started writing all of a sudden, or can you spill the beans? Did you write this book, or did somebody write this book as you spoke about it? I mean, it's all right if you did that. A lot of people do that.
Well, that's what people do. I mean, when you say write, you don't live like I didn't literally sit there and sharpen with a number two pencil and sit there and write.
Well, I mean, I just...
You know, so you sit there and you talk, and you know, then you answer questions and you talk more. But so it's definitely in your words. It's you know, you make it how you want it. I don't want somebody to put it the way I put it, the way I wanted to say. And then what's going to happen, it's going to be my audio book, which I will voice it myself. So that's going to be the real part of it. So that's the next part of it. When I get everything done, I'll start working on the audio version of it and sit in the studio for hours a day, just, you know, going through reading the book, basically, and in my voice. So
Yeah, it would.
So, you know, I'm not a writer, man. I mean, you know what I mean? I need somebody to tell me, oh, this should be capitalized, a comma, hyphen, you know. I'm not that smart, but...
I wasn't saying all that. I was saying more so, like, I mean, you got big old hands. Like, you're talking about writing a book. I was imagining you sitting down with a cigar in one hand. And then,
I did have a cigar and a pipe. That's where I got my pipe, you know?
But the next step was I'm imagining you, like, you know, you're writing it actually, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if I can see all that, man.
Man, I don't even like signing a check. I mean, nobody writes anything anymore. Who actually writes?
I'll be honest with you. So what I really was trying to politely ask, did you maybe use any AI software? You know, a lot of kids use ChatGPT nowadays for essays. Yeah. So I just was just curious. I didn't know.
Because, you know, what's interesting is, AI and chat will go find articles. They will go find things like when I was my New York Giants things, like I haven't even forgotten about, like certain things, stories. I mean, it's unbelievable, like that they can go find. You know, I like it for the research part of it, but you know, even things that I had maybe even posted about years ago, like there was an article at my home church where you and the boys, I mean, you and CJ came, that it pulled that up. Like, it was, they wrote an article about it and had a picture of me and you and CJ and sitting in the pews in my home church. Like, I never would have found that. And it found that. That's what I'm saying. So, like, that's what's good about it. I mean, so I don't know how kids going to learn today because I think, I mean, it's taking over the world. I mean, but, you know, when you voice with somebody everything that the stories and you talking as if you're writing, that's what it's going to be. But it's my stories. AI can't do your stories. I mean, these are real things, not make-believe. I guess
no, 100%. No. Like I said, I was giving you a hard time. It, you know, I'm telling myself, you know, I love Spanish. I'm invested in Spanish. I tried to use ChatGPT to write me a Spanish book that I could, you know, make a, you know, an e-book out of. And that, what's crazy was it actually came up with one. Now, while I was trying to transfer it from ChatGPT, it kind of got all messy. Then I just kind of gave up on it. But to be fair, I mean, you can kind of... You can make pretty much anything from AI. It is kind of stupid.
I mean, everybody uses it. Everybody uses a variation of it just for research and things like that. But it's all good. It's your story. It's, you know, nobody, AI did not know that we used to break into school to steal lunch boxes in the summertime. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's how it looked.
that's kind of what I was imagining. That's why I was asking if you were if you were writing it, because when you said you wrote a book, that's kind of what I was.
That's some craziness right there.
What do you mean?
That is me, though. That's me.
But see, you know what's crazy? So AI just did that not even 2 minutes. I just took a picture of you and I said, generate a picture of him looking like Shakespeare writing a book with a cigar, and it made that in 30 seconds and it's already on our live stream. So that's the power of AI. So to be honest with you, I kind of like that.
Should I kind of look presidential, George Washington. I don't want to say Donald Trump.
There we go. But, hey, no, I was going to ask you about that because you weren't on here, but your team, you had your Giants team, they had some drama because y'all's quarterback just intro the president, and then you had a linebacker, and it went in the news. But you do look very official. Now, back in those times, I mean, that's way back then.
I need to say that. I'll put that on my page. Pretty good. Coming soon.
Yeah, sure. I'll send it over to you. There you go. You got it. It's all yours. All right, let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got to talk about this Brendan Sorsby situation. I don't know if my dad's kept up with it. We'll fill him in on it. Anybody that hasn't heard of it, I'm sure you guys have, because it took a big twist last night, something that no one was expecting to happen. Ended up happening, and I think it kind of resolved itself. So we'll talk about
that. I need all the boys, all the girls out there. It's Christian's 30th birthday. I like the happy birthday, but send the brother a super chat. Send $5, $10. No, I ain't scared. I'm a preacher. We ask for money. No. Send the man a super chat. Send the man a thank you. Give him a $5 birthday super chat. You know, you got 80, 90 people on here. Give that brother a super chat. Stop being stingy.
No. You guys are all good. Just tune into the show, like, subscribe, and all that stuff. We're all good.
I had to tell the people the truth. I am the truth. Like, that's the Femi. Oba Femi. Okay. I am the truth.
You are the truth. All right, we got it in timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's CR. EONinfo.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230, TBC. Sorry if I get my words out. I had to clear my throat there. All right, we got to talk about this Sorsby situation again. We're joined by the pastor, Payne. Man, Juan is riding shotgun with him, and we got Reed, of course, behind the glass. But Brandon Sorsby, the saga continues to be even more dramatic. What we talked about yesterday, the Big 12 had come out, and they basically said, hey, we heard the attorney general from the state of Texas basically threaten anybody that wanted to take action against Texas Tech for continuing with playing Brandon Sorsby, the transfer out of Cincinnati, I believe, who was initially ruled ineligible by the NCAA after being found to participate in gambling throughout his college career, not only just gambling on random sports, but also including his own team, which he was a part of, up to or more than $90,000 had been gambled by Mr. Sorsby. We have followed the whole cases, the injunctions. He was ruled eligible via an injunction from a small court in Lubbock, Texas, where Texas Tech is, that caused a lot of outrage. We had schools coming out saying, hey, we're just not going to schedule Texas Tech. They weren't even just talking about football. It wasn't limited to just one sport. I think it was various sports. People were planning on taking action themselves. There was a lot of tit for tat. But finally, it seems like we've come up with our final resolution here, and it ended up being on Sorsby's behalf himself, I guess him and Texas Tech. Last night, this whole saga took a wild turn, an unexpected turn, when it was announced that Brandon Sorsby and Texas Tech had agreed to mutually part ways, which nobody was expecting at all. At least, I don't think anybody was. I didn't hear anything about it. Which means he will, in fact, not be playing college football for the 2026 season. So with that being said, we got to discuss this because I've seen a number of reactions. There's a lot of people in the college sports world that are celebrating this. They feel like it's a win for college athletics. Or, you know, you look at it and it's felt like we've been taking L after L. There was just, you know, no, I guess, guidelines, no judgment. I mean, you couldn't really have anything under control, but now it seems like this was a little win for college athletics, man. And I don't know, but some details regarding this, I'll read some of this from the articles that I pulled up. We got one from On3. There's a lot to cover, but I'll just kind of skim through it. So basically, I guess after all the backlash, I mean, Texas Tech put out a podcast video trying to explain themselves and what they were doing. I think it just became too much for both parties, leading to them agreeing to, you know, mutually part ways, which now his next steps will be he will enter the NFL supplemental draft, applying for it after parting ways with the school. Tom Pelissero reports that Sorsby plans to drop his college eligibility suit today that will that would make him eligible for the supplemental draft as a player who exhausted college eligibility. Now remember, he was on like a time crunch as well with this whole supplemental draft. So I think that probably also played a role in the decision to just kind of just do away with, I guess, trying to play in 2026 after all the heat. But I want to ask, I guess, the Pastor Payne's opinion on this, because we didn't even talk about this since, you know, you haven't been on the show in a while. I don't know if you even kept up with this. And I think it was Smitty that had a good question. What did you make of this whole situation? Like, going back to the beginning when we first found out that Texas Tech transfer quarterback Brennan Sorsby had, in fact, placed over $90,000 in bets, bet on his own team that he was a part of. What did you make out of it? And then him getting the injunction and him initially being eligible again to play college football after, the, you know, committing the one cardinal sin in athletics, which you know as good as I do, do not bet. Especially like on your own team, like that's always been a huge no in athletics.
Yeah.
What did you feel about the whole situation before he ended up mutually parting ways, and then now with the decision to enter that supplemental draft?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, you're an idiot for even thinking that you can do that and get away with it. And you're betting on your own team, which means, if you're betting for your team to win and or lose when you have control to affect either way, it's just, I mean, it's such an awful character situation from a young man. You know, I get sometimes these guys who step out and bet on baseball or bet on something different, a different sport, whatever. Okay, you messed up. I could get that. But when you bet on your own team, that is a huge problem for me. And the fact that Damon allowed him or came up with the answer that he should be able to play tells you the the character behind everything else, judicial systems, and that's ridiculous. I mean, so I don't blame like the Georgia AD and others who said we're canceling them, we're not playing them. I mean, this dude have cheated on his, I mean, betting on his own team. I mean, and you're gonna allow him to play that? I mean, that to me, it's just ridiculous. So I'm glad that somebody, whether it be him or somebody, talked him into saying, listen, man, move on. You know, if you can play pro ball, go try it. Go in the supplemental draft. You know, don't cause this type of issue, because this would have been a firestorm had he continued to go about it the way that they were. And I think it just would have affected college football in a way that, who else is going to do it next? I mean, if this guy could get away with it, if he can get away with gambling on his own team, what else? What is the next guy? What are you saying? What message are you sending to college athletics? So, yeah, the whole thing is stupid. You know, he's an absolute idiot for doing what he did.
Whoa, hold on. Well, before you go further, they did say that he had a pretty serious gambling addiction and that he was diagnosed clinically with that. And I hear you out, and because here's my thing. You know better than anybody that, you know, listen, I'm an advocate for mental health. Like, I believe that anybody and everybody should reach out and get all that they need, and it's, you should take it serious. But I'm with you to the point where I've been saying this whole time. You know, you can, because Texas Tech, basically their perspective was, hey, we're going to stand behind our student athlete, and he's got an issue that, you know, he went to, I think it was an inpatient rehab for like almost a month, all this stuff. So I respected that, but my biggest thing was, you can do all that and help him out in all those ways without forcing him to be eligible, which that to me was disrupting the integrity of the game. Like you said, we all know in sports, man, that's like the one cardinal sin, man. I get it. What's crazy was, I don't know if you saw this, Texas Tech went to length saying, well, you've got Georgia players getting DUIs, you've got the situation that went down at Penn State, but nobody boycotted them. And I'm like, of course, all those things are wrong, right? I mean, no, wrong is wrong, but that wasn't directly affecting the integrity of the game. If I had to guess, and I don't know if they detailed kind of whose decision, I mean, it said mutually. I'm sure Texas Tech just started to feel the heat. There's probably some people behind the scenes saying, hey, man, like, this is getting a little out of control. Is it really worth it? And I think eventually, you know, they probably came up with that decision. But I'm with you, though. You know, it's hearing some of his excuses, one of his excuses was he wanted to feel closer to his teammates. So that was why he decided to bet on games. The craziest thing. Yeah, that was one of his excuses when they were having the lawsuit. He said, you know, he wasn't playing a whole bunch. So that was one of his ways of feeling more connected, establishing more of a camaraderie. So, you know, with him saying that, it's kind of like, you know, what is true? Is it really some serious gambling addiction? It's probably a little bit of both. But I think this is probably the best decision because it, I just don't think it was going to be worth it for them to allow him to play. I do know that Cody Campbell, the big time booster from Texas Tech. Remember, this guy was allegedly being paid $5 million to play for Texas Tech this upcoming season. They have put out that they will not anticipate, they don't anticipate trying to go after any money that they anticipated to pay him. So I don't think that's probably the entirety.
Wait, now, hold on. Hold the freak on.
Wait. Let me just say this real quick because we know how NIL works, right? They're one-year contracts, and you don't get a lump sum, right? So if you agree to make $700,000, they don't just give you $700,000 one night, and that's it.
Right.
Normally, it's you get a signing bonus, some upfront money, and then they have monthly installments. So if I had to guess, he probably got seven figures up front and then was scheduled to probably make, you know, six figures monthly. So he probably still going to walk away with a couple million dollars, but he's not going to have the whole $5 million. But Texas Tech announced that they will not be going after any of that money that he was going to make, at least from this point on. They're clearly not going to pay him the entirety of it. So if you think about it, for him to get a couple million dollars and enter his name in the supplemental draft, here are a couple names that some popular NFL names that were part of the supplemental draft. Josh Gordon in 2012, second round. Chris Carter, your former teammate with the Vikings, fourth round pick in the supplemental draft in 87. Brian Bosworth, first round, 1987, and Terrell Pryor, third round in 2011.
Well, I had a teammate, Dave Brown, quarterback, first round that we drafted, 92 or 93, the supplemental from Duke, 6'5", quarterback, played for Steve Spurrier back in the day when he was at Duke University. So, yeah, I mean, there's been some guys come through that. But listen, let me just say this. I mean, I'm about... I speak about and how awful mental illness is and young athletes too. So I'm with all of that. Now, I'm on the fence with the gambling thing. Now, I know you can get hooked on gambling. I understand that. I was laughing. We just left Greenville, Mississippi, where there are, casinos. I was joking about, you know, going to Harlow's and seeing the people in wheelchairs and, you know, coming there to hope they're going to make it and hit it big and get out the hood and people selling their watches. I mean, so, I mean, I can call that an addiction. Okay, to me, it's not the same. So, I don't know. I think, listen, man, get some help. If you got an addiction problem, a gambling problem, get some help, but you ain't playing no football. I mean, why am I giving you $5 million knowing that you got an addiction to gamble? Right,
That would be enabling it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's enabling. I'm giving you more money to stick out there. Come on. Some things I get it. Right. Somebody asked me just even this weekend when I was sharing about the book and the story. Matter of fact, Richard Berger, who played the Desperate Housewives, good friend of mine. He was like, you know, when you're drinking, or maybe it was my brother from Megadeth. He was like, where did you have an addiction? Or I didn't really have no addiction like that. Now, I drank more than I should, right? But I wasn't addicted like that. I didn't like need that kind of help. I need some life-changing help, spiritual help. Or Tiger Woods, when he said he had a sexual addiction. Man, Tiger had no sexual addiction. We're gonna fly him over to Switzerland, and I ain't talking about the pill thing. Now, he probably does have an addiction to that, but I'm saying, come on, man. Like, some things still that need to be consequences. What helps you turn your life around is having to face consequences. God will forgive you. Like saying, God will forgive you, right? But that he doesn't mean that he takes away consequences. The consequences, sometimes, that's what gets you back on the right path. You have to experience some darkness in those areas. But I don't know, man. To me, that's a stupid situation. I'm glad that he's moving on. I mean, the fact that you're giving him more money, enabling him to maybe gamble some more. And how in the world that's going to make you feel closer? That now you start talking crazy. And I think he really needs some mental help. How you think gambling? Go make yourself. Oh, I'm gonna get closer because I'm not playing as much. So I'm gonna drop $10,000 on the game, right? Because I can get closer and help my quarterback play better so I can win this 10 stacks. I don't know. I mean, to me, the whole thing is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the fact that they were going to allow him to play is even more crazy.
Well, you should go back and watch it, because it's more than just them allowing him to play. They filmed a 20-minute podcast talking about they have one of the biggest centers for addiction help, I believe it was, at Texas Tech. They were coming out with all these reasons and quote-unquote excuses, and I think the biggest thing they were missing was you can offer him all those resources. You can, you know, assist him in any way possible, because I do believe that addiction is a thing, and I do believe mental health definitely deserves to be tended to, but that does not mean he has to play football. You can do both, right? You can keep him ineligible while also helping him. Lisa has a good question in the chat, though.
They trying to win some games. They can see all of that, but the bottom line, if he can help them win games, it's worth it to them. That just shows you winning trumps everything. If you can play football, you can get away with a lot of different things. That's just the reality of it. If 100%. You suck, if you're terrible, believe me, they're not having this conversation. If he wasn't able to play, we're not even having this conversation. This addiction. See if they step out and do the same thing. I promise you they won't.
That's a fair point. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got a couple good questions. We got one from Lisa talking about how everything that's unraveled now about the young man, how could that affect him and how teams view him? That's a very fair question. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Plus, we got Clint Lamb at the top of the hour from Cover Crimson.
Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Contacted once all the tickets are sold, you don't have to be present to win. To purchase tickets, Venmo at Brandon-Massengale or bring cash to Jess Sumner at Cypress Supply.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll feature Mike D'Antilier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll also have a chance to talk to Brett Greenberg. All coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A lot of tropical moisture will be feeding in here over the next several days. Rainfall amounts of 4 to 7 inches possible over parts of the area as we make our way on through the rest of the week and into the weekend. Showers and storms, 80 are high today, 70 are low tonight. More showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow, 87. Rain and storms continue into Thursday with Thursday's high in the mid-80s. Richard DeWedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, talking the latest developments in the Sorsby situation, which took a wild turn last night when it was announced that him and Texas Tech mutually agreed to part ways. He will now turn his attention to the supplemental draft, which, just a reminder, the way it works is If a team, in fact, does select him or anybody for that matter, they will lose their 2027 pick for whatever round they end up taking him. So if they took him as a second round pick in the supplemental draft of this year, they would then lose their 2027 second round pick. So we were just talking during the timeout our thoughts on that, because some really good questions from a couple of you guys in the chat. And Elisa had mentioned just, you know, with everything that's come out, like how does that affect how teams perceive him in the NFL? Me and my dad agreed that it's definitely going to probably knock him some, because they, you know, the NFL, they don't like distractions. They don't like dealing with nonsense and things like this. And they're definitely going to look deeply into it. Now, if there's a team that feels that he could help them out and they could, like you said it best, if you're a good football player, they'll find ways. And best believe it, there's a team that is invested in him that believes that he could be a good quarterback, which, I mean, he was regarded as like one of the top quarterbacks in the transfer portal. He's a pretty good player. Somebody's probably going to take a chance on him. I would guess maybe like that fourth round spot. But best believe they're probably going to do their, they're going to do their due diligence. They're going to do their investigations. And ultimately, they're probably coming with some type of plan and resources to make sure that he's staying on track. If it is, in fact, as serious as it is, which that's the picture that him and his representation painted. They painted a picture that it's a very serious betting addiction that required inpatient rehab, which, I mean, you know, if teams are worried about that, again, that's kind of the issue now where, I mean, you played it so big, which maybe it is that big, but if you exaggerate it a little bit just to get eligible, unfortunately, that is probably going to work against you in the National Football League. We got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, we joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We got the Pastor of Pain back here on the show. We keep on rolling just a minute.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby is applying to enter the NFL supplemental draft. The Chicago Bulls are reportedly hiring Tiago Splitter as their new head coach. He was the interim coach in Portland. The late night ball game went to the Dodgers 4-3 over Tampa Bay in a comeback. Detroit's Colt Keith hit three homers in a Tigers 9-3 win at Houston. A's 11-2 over Pittsburgh as Nick Kurtz had two home runs, five RBIs. The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong hit for the cycle. Cubbies got two runs bottom in the ninth to edge Colorado 5-4. St. Louis pitcher Dustin May tossed a one-hitter, a complete game against San Diego, 3-0 Cards the final. Two home runs early in Cincinnati for A. Eugenio Suarez, 12-0 Reds over the Mets. And there were four World Cup games Monday, all of them ties, including Spain's shocking scoreless tie against Cape Verde. The late game had Iran 2, New Zealand 2 in L.A.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
to our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone.
I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got hour number two kicking off with our guest, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us weekly, giving his perspectives on all things Alabama. And of course, some other stuff when it comes up, even though Clint likes to stick to his X's and O's, which I don't blame him. But Clint, man, well, one last time, we got to ask you something that's a little bit outside of that, man. Brandon Sorsby, the whole saga took a wild turn last night. First and foremost, welcome in. I hope you're doing well, brother. But we'd love to get your thoughts on that whole twist, because it kind of shocked pretty much everybody that I'm aware of. How you doing, brother? What'd you think of that whole situation?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I'm doing fantastic, Christian. Appreciate you having me on as always. But I'm glad it kind of came to the resolution that it did. I think that was a must for college football. It would have made for a very messy offseason. It would have dominated the news, if I had to guess, or continued to dominate the news, especially with the back and forth. You hate it for Brandon Sorsby in a way, because you understand it's an addiction, but at the same time, he made a mistake, and you got to pay the consequences, and that's moving on to the supplemental draft. So we'll see what happens on that front.
Do you believe that this is a win for college football? Would you call it? I know some people were kind of summing it up as that. It felt like, man, like with all these injunctions and all the NIL news, it's like, man, it seems like it's just L after L for the sport. But this kind of feels like a little positive momentum. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think this had to happen. Like I said, I mean, just with where the sport's at, you know, a lot of times you sue and you get your way. And technically, he did. He exploited the system like a lot of other people have. But the fact that there was so much pushback from people and, you know, some pressure from various places, it kind of forced both Texas Tech and Brandon Sorsby to, you know, go in different directions. And I will say Will Hammond's a good quarterback. I think he's going to end up being, once he's able to return from injury, I still think Texas Tech is going to be a really good football team. Still think they're obviously, you know, the favorites to win the Big 12. But just from the importance of you know, this situation to the sport, this to me had to happen. And so I'm glad that it did.
Absolutely. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Make sure you guys check out all the good work that they're doing. You can catch them on all your podcast platforms, of course, on X as well. And Clint's personal at Clint R. Lamb. Clint, let's talk some football, man, especially Alabama. I got a quick question about some recruiting news, man. Over the weekend, Alabama loses a linebacker commit. And Kenneth Simon, a legacy from Tennessee. Father played for Tennessee at Rocky Top, and he ended up flipping back there. Now leaves Alabama. I don't think they have any linebacker commits or even edge commits right now. Which my question to you is, where do you feel like Alabama stands right now with recruiting? I know there's a lot of people that have voiced some concerns. I know you've been covering on it. You've been trying to calm them down a little bit, kind of put out some of the fires. People are seeing the rankings, and they're just seeing some of the activity from other schools. They're not seeing as much from Alabama. Still pretty early, right? I know it's only June. But where does Alabama go, number one, is recruiting-wise, and two, even more specifically, at linebacker or at edge? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but now it just seems like I don't even – maybe you know better than I do. I don't know – maybe you know targets better than I do. Any other linebacker names? I'll tell you one. Isaac McNeil, I think Calvin, who's in our chat, he's every day he's hammering me to go look at him. I watch his tape. I love the tape, Clint. I absolutely love it. He's physical, plays downhill. Probably not the same type of athlete as Kenneth Simon, a little bit more different. Both those guys seem like good, versatile guys, but McNeil was more like, you know, played off the ball, but also on the edge. Simon, I thought he almost could have been, you know.
Hey, Clint, you still with us?
Yeah.
All right, give Christian just 1 second. He just froze. And yeah, give him just 1 second here.
No problem.
Where does Alabama go? Do you see them trying to...
Clint, did you happen to catch... Christian's question at all?
Oh yeah, sorry
there
guys.
I
cut out. I apologize. Clint, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, I just was saying, where do you think Alabama goes from here? Do you think they pursue a guy like Isaac McNeil who's committed to Auburn? Is there anybody else that you've heard maybe at the linebacker spot or edge spot? I know Tyler Younger is a guy that I've gotten to watch a little bit of. I'm impressed with him, a little bit more of an under the radar, you know, project type of player. Where does Alabama go from here, Clint?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of the off-ball linebacker spot to me. I kind of compare it in some ways to the transfer portal running backs this past cycle, in the sense of Alabama had specific guys that they liked. And Hollywood Smothers and Relik Brown, they went after both. But then when they got the commitment from Hollywood Smothers, they ended up losing out to Relik Brown to Texas. And then, of course, Texas then goes after Hollywood Smothers and gets him as well. But a lot of fans, they took their pursuit of those guys, especially Hollywood Smothers, as this signal that Alabama really felt like it needed to upgrade its running back room. I certainly think that there was an emphasis on improving the run game, but I don't think it was this emphasis on, hey, we don't have a lot of talent or we don't like the guys who are in that room, especially with E.J. Crowell coming in. We need to go get somebody else. It was more so we really like these guys. We feel like they can help as far as some of the elements at that position that maybe we were missing in 2025. And once those pursuits kind of failed, they didn't feel the need to go after anybody else in the transfer portal. They did end up getting Khalifa Keith, but that was more of a body. They wanted six running backs to make sure from a depth standpoint they were in a good place, but they didn't feel this need to go get any other running backs. They just liked those specific guys. I think that's kind of the approach with the high school off-ball linebackers, where it's more so they really like Ken Simon. They've liked some of these other guys too, don't get me wrong. But with the youth in that room, I mean, it's possible that the entire off-ball linebacker room could be back in 2027 if that 5-for-5 passes and Caleb Woodson is able to come back. Now, it's possible that, you know, that doesn't pass. It's possible that he elects to go to the NFL after this season. But it is theoretically possible. And then you've got a lot of young guys, QB Reese, that still got multiple years even after 2026 of eligibility. You've got, you know, that group with Luke Metz and Abdul Sanders and Duke Johnson. And then you've got a Caden Jones. So and of course, Xavier Griffin too, and they certainly didn't pay him and bring him in to be a guy who sits for multiple years. So whether he plays or not as a true freshman, he's going to be on the field, you know, as long as he kind of lives up to the expectations in 2027, no doubt in my mind. So they're looking at that room and saying, well, we loved the talent in Kenneth Simon, but I don't think they feel pressed to go and find, if they can find somebody, which they have done a very good job of identifying players who are lower rated, who end up climbing in the rankings. We've seen it with, you know, Keelan Russell. We saw it with Jet Tomlow. We saw it with Michael Carroll. We saw it, you know, to at least some extent with Jackson Lloyd. They've done this time and time again. So if they identify a player who's in his senior year and starting to kind of, you know, snowball a little bit, then that could be someone that we're not even talking about right now who they end up going after. I just don't think that the panic level from the fans versus the panic level from the coaching staff are in two very different places. And so as far as the edge is concerned, obviously you missed on Frederick Ards. I think the coaching staff really would like to have had that talent. They felt like he was more ready to contribute in year one, which if they're going to pay up on somebody, they don't want to bring somebody in, pay him for a year, significant money, and then sit them on the bench. And then, you know, they're going to want more money the following offseason when they didn't contribute, or they're going to end up leaving in the transfer portal if someone gives them a big enough offer and gets them in the portal. So, you know, they miss on Ards. Obviously, they didn't feel like KJ Green, despite the fact that he's really talented. I think he's eventually going to be a really good player for LSU. They didn't feel the need to go out and pay him substantial money because they didn't think he was going to contribute in year one. But they lose on all those guys. And so now you're looking at Antoine Jackson, who's more of a bandit to me. You know, could end up maybe playing some Wolf. But, you know, they're looking at some of these low-rated guys right now and more developmental pieces because I think they do plan to go to the transfer portal and add a piece to kind of complement or go along with what they're going to have in Justin Hill and Jamarian Matthews, possibly, you know, getting some edge reps from Xavier Griffin. And, you know, it's a concern because it's an unknown. I mean, they definitely will have to get it solved before 2027, especially if you lose Yonde Pierre. But I think now it's the approach is more, you know, it's not, if we don't go get a bunch of high school kids each and every year, premier players, there's going to be a gap where the in 2 or 3 years, you're going to have a problem with your depth chart or whatever. They're looking at it and they're saying we've stacked really young classes. They're growing and developing together. But now we can go and kind of complement and aid that in the transfer portal a little bit. And if you end up in a desperate spot, you can always go to the transfer portal and get more immediate guys to kind of hold you over as you replenish some of that young depth. So I think that's more so been the approach. I understand that it just looks way different than it's ever looked. But I can't tell you definitively that this is the correct way, but I understand the vision, and I'm going to wait and see how it plays out.
Clint, I guess my biggest question is, so we understand that they wanted to take a smaller class, but when you look at just like the caliber of players, which I don't put too much stock into where guys rank, but I still understand that, you know, when you look at the top players right now, I think we only have maybe what, one with Elijah Haven and I guess Seaborn. Yeah, I guess those two guys really, the rest are, like you said, they're more project players. They're definitely a little bit, or maybe Newkirk as well. You could throw him in there. My biggest question is the numbers I understand, but in terms of like the caliber, right? I totally understand the point. That makes perfect sense. Like, you don't want to pay a bunch of money to a guy that you don't anticipate making an immediate, I guess, you know, contribution. But for some of these other guys, Clint, that I look at, like on the rankings or the ratings for high school, I mean, there's just some guys that I just feel like, I mean, you couldn't tell me that they couldn't make a pretty immediate impact. What about those guys? Do you think Alabama just didn't target those guys? Because you also mentioned, like, setting yourself up. I also wonder if you're too reserved and take too many project players right now. Maybe you're kind of playing catch up a couple years down the road. You see what I'm saying? Like, do you ever, you know, question that at all, or you think that's not a problem?
I understand exactly what you're saying, and we'll just have to wait and see kind of how it ends up playing out. I think the portal, if you find yourself in that situation in the future, like, you can not only revamp, but like you can really look at what they did with the offensive line. Granted, a huge chunk of that was some promising young players in that 2026 cycle, but a lot of it too was through the transfer portal. And they, if they didn't have, you know, as many or any of those players that they had got from the high school ranks, from a depth standpoint, that might have impacted things for sure. But you could get yourself held over until you can maybe replenish some of that stuff, and you can go to the portal multiple years in a row. I think there's right now there's more of a shift towards they understand what the roster's going to look like in 2027 or what they're anticipating it to look like. And there's going to be more of an emphasis on experience and kind of stacking on that and having, you know, ready-made guys. As I said, I understand it, but – you know, if you bring in a bunch of players and you're paying them substantial money because you've got to pay them substantial money, that's what they're going to command. And then, you know, there's no clear path to really, you know, any sort of significant role. And you can talk about even the gaps that they have. It's not like when they lose Yonde, they have nothing at the Wolf position. Certainly you want to replenish that depth. And you, I mean, they, from a depth standpoint, you do. But from the standpoint of, you still got Justin Hill, Jamarian Matthews is a former top 50 or, you know, 60 player, has been playing Wolf. You've got a former five-star that can play it. And, you know, you're recruiting some of these lower-rated players that have some potential, you know, developmental potential. And then you go to the transfer portal and you sign, you know, a rotational Wolf that's, you know, a Jordan Ross type of player. I mean, that room, I mean, it gets pretty healthy again. And so, I mean, like I said, I understand where there would be some concerns as far as how it's being built. But with the portal and the way that it operates now and the way that you can kind of mask, you know, you've got people who are joining with programs, you know, new head coaches coming in, spending a bunch of money, and they're flipping and turning over a roster in one single offseason. Let me look at LSU. I mean, from whether it be the high school side of it or the transfer portal, I mean, that roster looks completely different. A lot of people are picking them to be one of the best teams in the SEC. And so I'm not saying that Alabama would want to spend that type of money, but you always have the transfer portal as an option to fill in any holes. And if you're paying a bunch of these young players and you don't really anticipate them coming in and contributing, especially if money is the primary, like, they're entertaining a lot of these guys if they feel like relationships are still really important to them. But if money's the primary and you bring them in and you spend all this time, you know, having them sit, learn, develop, and then you start getting to, you know, next year, they want more money. People are trying to get them into the transfer portal, and you might end up losing that player, having invested a lot of resources and money, and then you don't even get the benefit. And the one that I keep using as an example is, do we think Michigan is happy with the Ty Haywood investment last year? They spent a lot of money pulling him away from Alabama, and they got nothing out of him. He redshirted, and then he ended up in Tuscaloosa anyways. And they spent a year developing him and paid him a ton of money. Alabama is trying to avoid those types of situations. Do I think that Michigan is now, you know, screwed or have screwed themselves because they paid him that money? No, but it was wasted money. So, you know, just like if, you know, I still think Michigan's in fine shape, and I think Alabama's in fine shape with kind of taking more of, you know, different approaches to some of this. But Alabama's trying to be smart with their money, and the primary is they're not going to take care of somebody else outside of the building before they take care of the guys inside the building. And eventually, that type of approach and taking care of your own is going to, you know, that's going to catch more and more traction, because a lot of these kids, it's like, yeah, I'll get this initial payday from this school, but then when I get there, are they going to take care of me the same way? Or am I one of those, we got this kid, we don't really have to, you know, he's going to become very secondary compared to adding or acquiring more talent. You don't want guys feeling that way. So I think just from a culture standpoint, it's smart, but it is different, and we are going to have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, no, and like I said, I understand, you know, majority of what the points that you're making, they make sense. I think it's just, for me, the one thing that just continues to question is, you know, for us being a top program, and it's conflicting, right, Clint? Because one minute we hear, you know, Alabama doesn't have that type of money to spend. But then on the other, we hear, oh, Alabama does have money. Money's not an issue. It's just their choice. It's the decision that they're making. And then I look at other top programs, and I'm seeing how active they are in the portal while also being extremely active in recruiting. And I feel like they retain pretty well as well. And it feels like we're one of the few premier programs that are taking this approach in this cycle right now, which I get it. Our roster's young, so I get it to an extent. But I like, it's just the one thing about where I'm just like, man, out of all these top recruits, we can't find any of those guys that we feel are worthy to pay a little bit of money to this season. I don't know. I can't really wrap my head around that part.
Sonny Gales is a top 50, you know, recruit. I think he's going to climb the rankings after being the MVP of that, you know, whatever you want to call it, 7-on-7 tournament this past weekend. You got Mitchell Turner, sure, who Alabama seems to be in pretty good shape for. He's a top 60 player. I think things are going to kind of build a little bit. Antoine Jackson, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, he took a visit to Missouri. Think the visit went well, but still think Alabama's in really good position for him. Like, they got some guys, and I understand Antoine Jackson, he's kind of that tweener between – he's really not the type of guy you're talking about, but he's also not one of those, you know, lower-rated, more developmental pieces. I think he's kind of between those two tiers. But this is just – you start stacking some of those players, and – I guarantee you more guys are going to emerge over the course of this next calendar year, or really, I guess, 6 months. It's not a year. But then also their flips are happening all the time. So just kind of what I'm doing is I'm waiting to see how it plays out. It was expected to be a smaller class. They weren't going to pay up on a bunch of guys that they – and the philosophies may be different, but Alabama is very much in the camp of, if they're going to pay you money, especially if you got a kid – asking for seven-figure money, if he steps on campus, or, I mean, really, if he's just in high school and you've promised him that money, he hasn't even arrived on campus yet, and he's already your fifth or sixth highest paid player on the roster, that's not good from the health of the guys who are on your roster. But then also, if you're not expecting big contributions from him, then that is wasted money, because who's to say that kid, a KJ Green, maybe by the time Alabama actually has a significant need for an edge, maybe he's in the transfer portal, and then LSU wasted the time developing him and paying him all the money, and then you end up reaping the benefit, because then that's when you elect to go pay him. So I understand, like I said, I see the logic, and I see it both ways. I'm not going to stand up here and stick a flag in the ground and say their way's wrong, because I don't know. It makes sense from a culture standpoint and stuff, but I still think they're trying to learn how to navigate some of this stuff just like we all are. And one of the lessons I think they learned was that they were putting all of their eggs, or at least a huge chunk of them, in the high school basket. And they're learning, from Indiana and a lot of those playoff teams that were older teams, had a lot of experience, spent a little bit in the portal. And so I don't think they will be willing to be a lot more competitive. And I think that's, them trying to adjust and calculate and watch, wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I hate to sound like we're beating a dead horse here. I generally, when I tell you, I'm like, man, I'm trying to understand the last piece, man. I'm like, I understand everything else. I'm like, it makes total sense. But I'm like, this one piece that I still can't fully grasp. But like you said, I think time will definitely answer all of that. And to be fair, the portal go ahead.
I will say, if we're having these types of conversations one calendar year from now, if they're having some of the same struggles and for the 2028 cycle that we think that they are, currently in the 2027, that's when I will fully say there's a problem. If it's a one-year thing and it's like, hey, how things are lining up, we want to put all of our funds or a huge chunk towards retention and portal and take a smaller class. If it's a one-time thing because of how you've done the last 2 years, I'm willing to give you some grace to see how that works out, because that makes sense. But if we're having these same conversations a year from now, that's when I will officially say, okay, something's not working, and I think Alabama's in trouble, because you can't stack this type of class. But I do think if it's a one-off, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you are evaluating correctly and still adding some pieces to end up being better players, and the players that you are paying, you're getting the most out of them.
No, I agree 100%. And to your point, I mean, you always can fall back on the portal, even if it's intentional or this reality was they swung and they missed a lot. They can always swing again when the portal comes. Like you said, even if it's young players just to get or replace depth that they might need, there's always that option. So regardless, either way, whether it's intentional or it's unintentional, they have a second opportunity. So I think that's something fans should remember is, he's got plenty of time, like you said, even with this cycle, for flips to happen and a number of other movements along the way. Clint, before we let you run, man, I saw that you mentioned that you're doing some player rankings. I think you and Jimmy got a video coming soon, man. You want to give us a quick little teaser? You ain't got to give us a whole rundown, but kind of what you're brewing up with that whole thing?
Oh, I'm loving it, man. Just to me, one of the things about doing it, because sometimes you reach a point where it's kind of vibes, and I know that that's not what you want to hear, but it's kind of a combination of how impactful do I think they're going to be in 2026, the overall talent, whether that be college, sometimes maybe a guy who's a better college player than he is an NFL talent, but it's looking at talent from the both aspects. It's talking about how much are they going to be on the field. It's like a combination of a lot of factors. So to say that there's this exact formula or science to it, that's not the case here. But as I'm working my way through it, what it's kind of forcing me to do is actually stick some flags in the ground and actually make some predictions that I think people are going to enjoy. Like, hey, I've said I really like Trayshawn Brown, but where exactly am I willing to predict he's going to finish in the pecking order amongst the running backs? Or you've talked about maybe Xavier Griffin having a situational role as a pass rusher. Are you willing to stick that flag in the ground and actually predict that that is going to happen? Because when you're ranking players, if he gets that situational role, it can be pretty impactful. He can make it will be need to be on efficiency, because I don't think it'll lead to a ton of snaps, but that will absolutely change his ranking. So where I have him ranked is going to reflect whether I think he's actually going to end up in that type of role, or guys like Steve Boomlaw, the defensive line Steve. I mean, how far am I willing to put him up that depth chart? Nolan Wilson being a summer enrollee, but I really like the talent. I think he does contribute. Am I willing to put him ahead of Jamarian Latham or Kevontae Henry? Is Bandit 3 behind Dez Zulu and Devin Tompkins? As I was working my way through this, I started having a lot of fun with it. as far as kind of forcing me to make some actual decisions. And so I'm looking forward to kind of releasing that. I did a share on our show earlier that EJ Crowell did end up being my highest ranked freshman. And I'm not going to tell you where he's at, but, you know, I was debating. And one of the things, the questions that was asked was, hey, who do you think has the bigger impact in year one? Is it Sadarian Morgan or is it EJ Crowell? And my answer was Sadarian Morgan is the safer bet. His path to, you know, wide receiver three and getting consistent usage and maybe even being a guy who starts pretty consistently is a lot better than maybe EJ Crowell becoming Alabama's starting running back and getting more of a consistent workload. And he was around in the spring, which helps. But I think the ceiling there, if you're talking about, you know, the biggest impact and kind of the one, if you want to take a risk, EJ Crowell is the one. And I ultimately decided that I think EJ Crowell was going to be that guy. So looking forward to sharing those rankings for sure, man.
We'll definitely be on the lookout. And they can catch those rankings, of course, on y'all's YouTube channel, right? Fill everybody in and just remind them where they can catch all the good work you guys are doing.
Absolutely. You can catch me on the Cover Crimson YouTube channel if you like watching and following along. Or you can search the Cover Crimson Podcast Network on Apple, Spotify, or wherever. And you can follow us along if you'd rather go that route. So once again, Christian, as always, brother, I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to next week.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully, and you're dropping the rankings this week, right? So we can, I'll take a listen to it, and I can ask you about them next week. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So what I'll be doing is probably dropping about, so what I did was I ranked the top 50 players, just okay. Kind of, you want to leave some wiggle room, and then I'll be doing probably four or five a day, multiple times a week. So we'll be getting into this list pretty good as we work our way through these next couple of weeks.
Sounds like a plan. We'll definitely discuss it. I'll leave the recruiting talk behind. I know we're beating a dead horse. I'm asking you, Clint, because I'm dead serious. I'm like, man, I need somebody to help me understand. I respect your opinion, so that's all it is. But we'll talk some rankings next week. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, brother. It was good talking to you, man. And once again, I look forward to next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. Always a pleasure, Clint.
Absolutely, brother.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Our guy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. We got to hit a timeout.
Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 priced at $54,529.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll feature Mike D'Antilier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll also have a chance to talk to Brett Greenberg. All coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, your home of the Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTVC and streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A lot of tropical moisture will be feeding in here over the next several days. Rainfall amounts of 4 to 7 inches possible over parts of the area as we make our way on through the rest of the week and into the weekend. Showers and storms, 80 are high today, 70 are low tonight. More showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow, 87. Rain and storms continue into Thursday, with Thursday's high in the mid-80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot. Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to our guy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson who just joined us. But hey, quick reminder about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. If you guys haven't already, check them out right now, lamparello-law.com. Again, that representation that Adam provides is first class. It is affordable. That is a big deal, right? Especially nowadays, man, it's tough, especially those types of services. They get expensive, but Adam and his team at Lamparello Law Education Advocacy will do it at a very affordable rate. They'll beat out the competitor. You can go schedule a consultation and learn more on their website, lamparello-law.com. That includes any criminal defense matter, academic misconduct issues, NIL cases, you name it, they cover. And of course, all those extra services like academic and career planning, subject matter mastery, or even exam and test taking preparation for high school, college, or graduate students. So make sure you guys take advantage of that today at lamparello-law.com. And of course, for free legal advice, you can always tune in to Adam's new YouTube channel, Lamparello Law, here on YouTube as well. All right, that being said, we got a quick one right here. Reed, I want to ask you real quick. I know the Pastor Payne is taking care of some business real quick. So I want to turn it to you, because I know you haven't been on here in a minute. Do you share any of that? Where do you stand when it comes to Alabama recruiting? I don't know if you keep up with it a whole bunch, but it's been a big talk right now, and it's still June, it's still early, but there's a lot of people that see kind of where we're at. They've seen some of the moves that have happened, right, and there's some concerns. But we just heard from Clint, again, a lot of very good points, which I think a lot of this really is probably calculated on the staff's behalf, but I also think there's a good bit of it that's probably not, that seems that they might be scrambling just a little bit, you know, and that's okay. That happens sometimes, just hopefully they can kind of clean it up. Where do you sit when it comes to this whole recruiting deal that we're seeing right now?
I think, Christian, you know, I keep up with it a little bit, like kind of like you. I don't really go full into detail, but it's more so, I guess, just kind of like we've been saying, really just trusting to get those guys that fully fit our system, and not only the system, right? Because I feel like a lot of people say, oh, just get the guys that, you know, fit Alabama, but also fit the identity that they're kind of buying into what we are kind of serving, if that makes sense there. But yeah, just kind of just entrusting that they get those guys, and whether those are, you know, the Monchel sales of five stars or if it's a three-star guy that's kind of blooming late, you know, just trusting that the staff gets the guys that they want and that they know can serve the Bama standard.
Yeah, and I agree. At the end of the day, I mean, that matters a lot more than just rankings. But to be fair, I understand why people have questions when you look at other teams and – yeah, like I said, I think that the biggest, I guess the thing that confuses me the most, Reed, is what is the truth, right? Is money truly not an issue, or is it somewhat of a, not an issue, but is that coming into play a little bit more than we've been? Because remember, Reed, before the whole narrative was Alabama didn't have the funds to keep up. Remember, like for the last couple seasons, since NIL has been a big thing, like that's been a big deal. And I've always said, I'm like, I don't think it's the Alabama that they don't have money. They're just a little bit more resourceful. But then recently, after, I mean, we heard Coach Saban come out and said, hey, there's a $24 million roster from last season, or even just some of these top, I guess, spenders that we've seen. And I don't know the accuracy of it, but Alabama's, you know, generally like in the top 10 from what we've seen. So I guess my point is, like, all the other schools on these lists, like, I don't feel like they're having to be as resourceful. Does that make sense? So now I'm a little bit more confused again. It's like I'm conflicted. I mean, are we being resourceful because we have to? Is it because we choose to? And if we're just choosing to, is that the right decision? I mean, there's just so many questions I think comes from it. But I don't know. Like Clint said, time is probably the best answer here in this whole situation, because we'll know more down the road. And like I had mentioned, I mean, at the end of the day, even if you feel like you whiffed a little bit in high school recruiting, guess what? Transfer portal is going to open up and there's going to be players that are fourth-year guys that are, you know, seasoned vets. And there's going to be plenty of guys that were top high school recruits just the year prior. That, like, he made the example with Ty Haywood. And you can circle back on those guys and then maybe get them at a later date. So at the end of the day, I want to be clear, like I said yesterday, me personally at least, I don't ever, like, panic over this stuff or freak out over recruiting. But I might have more questions than usual and might kind of have some concerns or doubts. But it's never like, oh, man, I think we're, you know, sky is falling. I don't think – nowadays, I don't think you really need to have that unless the portal window closes and you're going into a football season. Like, say it's like, you know, the spring of next year, the portal already closed, and you're looking at your roster like, hey, we plan on, you know, roster retention, having all these guys, you know, bringing these guys in the portal. But, man, we didn't get the key piece we need out of the portal. The guys that we have, we got concerns. Now we're going into the season, and it's like, damn, a year that we anticipated was going to be a big year for us, and more of a year that we're probably going to be viewed as a contender now doesn't have the same clarity as we once thought. Does that make sense? That's the only time I probably would say, okay, now we probably need to be a little more concerned.
And Christian, you don't have to necessarily answer this, but now that has me thinking, like, that question right there, what would, I'm now trying to think, how would I answer that question about this most recent season, right?
You're saying like after this past season, the transfer portal, all that, like how we're looking going into this year? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, going into this season, after the transfer mm-hmm. portal has closed and everything, how do, at least, this is at least a personal thought at least, and I don't know if you kind of reflect the same way, but did we feel like we met those? And of course, we'll see on paper and on the field come this fall, but at least right now heading into it, do we feel like we met those criteria?
That's a great question. Let me preface by saying, since I was joking about this other day, man, I was bored. I was trying to find some recruiting info on some of these guys on Bama Online, and I was like, wait, who listens to Miller's Edge? And I saw that there was a forum or a thread of people like, oh, man, Christian's complaining because he wasn't super impressed with our portal class. Oh, who cares about his opinion? No, like, all these people getting mad. I'm like, I didn't know people were that soft, where if you just say, I'm not sure if we, is in the most respectful way, I'm not sure if we got much better necessarily, if we improved. I don't know how that's so bad and why people, I don't know. And people, oh, well, what does he know? I don't know. I mean, I played the game 20 years. I mean, I think I watched tape in front of you guys. Like, you know, I'm not just talking. So whatever. That being said, my honest opinion is, and the same thing I had said in that whole conversation, like, do I feel like we attack the portal in a way where I have a sense of full confidence currently right now without seeing these guys, you know, develop and come to fruition? I can't say necessarily that I feel like we, you know, knocked it out of the park. And I know people are like, well, what does that look like? For me, this is how I view it. And I know there's a bunch of logistics and other things that go into this. But here's my thing. You know, you struggle. You had one of the worst seasons ever running the football. To me, I would have invested whatever resources necessary. And if we're going to revamp our offensive line, I know we've got young talent in Jackson Lloyd and Michael Carroll, even a guy like Will Sanders. I like Racing Delgatti a lot, but I would have at least said, man, I want me a plug and play starting tackle right now. Like, that would have gave me a little bit more confidence, or even like another interior offensive lineman that I know has, you know, tape on him, has started a couple years, that you also feel like is a good fit. Does that make sense? If we would have gotten a couple of those guys for the offensive line, I think I would have felt a little bit more confident. I'm not saying what they got out of the portal won't end up being, you know, positive additions, or they won't contribute. It won't be better. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where we stand right here, we replaced a lot of depth with some more depth or guys that haven't necessarily proven just that, which that's, you know, on the coaches to evaluate and kind of forecast, right? So if it all works out, those guys might not have been, you know, big names or, you know, had a lot of experience come into this, but the goal is they're going to produce a lot more now that they're here. So I want to be clear. I'm not saying it can't happen this year, but I think it's too early to tell. Does that make sense? Versus if you were have gotten, you know, a starter or two from the portal on the offensive line, you know, defensive line or somebody else, you know, or maybe linebacker. You know, I think there's a couple pieces that we probably could have got that would have made me a little bit more confident right now ahead of training camp going into the 2026 season. But with that said, it's just a little bit more of a wait and see idea. So don't go write articles on Bama Online because you're upset because I said I'm not. I can't definitively say I'm super confident we're going to see massive changes this season. Because I do think in 2027, you set yourself up really nice with the youth that we were able to go get. Because I think these guys have a lot of potential. That's what I said. They're just young and inexperienced, a little green. So that's all it is. So to answer your question, Reed, for 2026, I think it's just so early to tell. And with these guys not having a whole bunch of receipts to them, just a little bit more of a wait and see approach. But really good question, though. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
Every new Honda comes with a lifetime powertrain warranty.
Lease offers zero due at signing, 36-month, 10,000 miles per year closed-end lease. No security deposit required. Excludes tax, title, license, and dealer fees. For well-qualified buyers with approval from Honda Financial Services. Offer ends 7-6-26.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll also have a chance to talk to Brett Greenberg. All coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick little segment here, but we'll shift gears. Chris Lowe, good friend of ours, got ties to the Carolinas. He's with On3 now. He came out with his coaches, his SEC head coach rankings list. And I know we do this every year, and I know it seems like we're beating a dead horse, but this is, he literally just came out with this. This is his updated list, so I want to read this off and get everybody's thoughts on this. Number one, do you want to guess who he has as the top head coach in the SEC?
Kirby Smart.
Yeah, well, okay, you're probably looking at the screen. Oh, no, you can't see it. It's not on the screen. All right. Do you want to guess number two?
Yes. Lane Kiffin.
That's wrong, but it's close. Do you want to take a second guess? Lane Kiffin's number three, by the way.
Number two would be... it can't be Kalen DeBoer.
It's not Kalen DeBoer on this list, no.
Okay. I have no idea. He said that guy from Vanderbilt.
No, so it's actually Steve Sarkisian. He's got Steve Sarkisian as number two. Lane Kiffin as number three. Kalen DeBoer, number four. Mike Elko, number five. Josh Heupel, number six. Eli Drinkwitz, number seven. Clark Lee, eight. Brent Venables, nine. John Sumrall, 10. Shane Beamer of your Gamecocks, number 11. Pete Golding, number 12. Alex Golish, new Auburn head coach, 13. Jeff Lebby, 14. Ryan Silverfield, 15. And Will Stein, 16. Any thoughts? There's some movement that I would definitely make.
I mean, Kirby obviously would. I mean, what's the criteria? I think that's the thing you ask. Is it based on history? And then obviously it's Kirby Smart with the national championship. Is it based on last year? Because if it's based on last year, I'm putting the guy at Vanderbilt number one.
So you're saying if you're going like off last year,
if it's based on last season, year's coaching,
last year's
coaching would be Vanderbilt's coach would be number one.
Well, the article leads off by saying ranking the head football coaches is a lot like ranking the best restaurants. It changes regularly in the taste of the customers vary. Sometimes those restaurants have been around the longest, become staples because of longevity. Other times restaurants burst onto the scene and become the rage. Consistency, quality, and adaptability always matter when choosing a go-to restaurant. We unveil our preseason ranking of the SEC head coaches with those same qualities in mind, and these rankings could look markedly different by the time we get to the end of 2026. So basically, it sounds like this is fluid, and this does sound, in my opinion, as if it does take a lot into consideration about what you've done recently, but it also does respect longevity and consistency. So we got to hit a quick timeout. We come back, we'll give our thoughts on the rankings right here from Chris Lowe of the top head coaches in the SEC. Quick reminder before we hit this break, you've got, sorry, let me put that back on the screen so I can read it for you guys. Kirby Smart, number one. Steve Sarkisian, two. Lane Kiffin, three. Kalen DeBoer, four. Mike Elko, five. Josh Heupel, six. Eli Drinkwitz, seven. Clark Lee, eight. Brent Venables, nine. John Sumrall, 10. Shane Beamer, 11. Pete Golding, 12. Alex Golish, 13. Jeff Lebby, 14. Ryan Silverfield, 15. Will Stein, 16. We'll talk about that.
Nine. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
Edge, Tide 1.9, 1230 WTBC. We're discussing Chris Lowe's head coach rankings that he dropped for the SEC. Again, Kirby Smart leading the charge, but then Kalen DeBoer coming in at number four. We're discussing this now. This is what I was just saying when we were on a break. I feel like with Coach DeBoer, out of the other guys, again, Kirby Smart, he's definitively number one in my opinion, given, you know, back-to-back national championships, back-to-back SEC champions the past couple of seasons. For me, I think with Coach DeBoer at number four, I'm okay with that, but I also understand why people would argue that Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin maybe shouldn't be ahead of him. But I think for me, if I had to guess what other people see when they look at Kalen DeBoer and it comes to these rankings, are those losses that shouldn't have happened. In my opinion, I feel like act as a little bit of a shadow, if you will. Maybe a stain sounds a little strong here, but you get what I'm saying? I think it overshadows a lot of the good that he's done. I mean, he won four straight ranked games in this conference. First time that's been done, like, ever, or in a super long time, whatever the stat was. Second year, made it to the SEC championship here at Washington. He made a trip to the national championship game. He won a conference championship over there as well. I mean, if you're talking about championships and those types, I mean, even winning percentages against ranked opponents, winning percentages against majority of these coaches on this list, I think his record or his percentage is better than anybody. So that should automatically probably put him above those coaches. But I think what happens is, you know, Coach Saban used to tell us this with our draft stock. They're looking for butts, B-U-T. This guy is a good pass rusher, but he struggles to set the edge. This guy is a great running back, but he struggles in pass pro. I think those butts are a little strong when you look at the Florida State loss, the Vanderbilt loss, you know, Alabama's right back.
The Georgia SEC championship game blown out by unheard of Indiana.
No, you can't do that. Because Indiana blew everybody out. No, excuse me. No, they didn't blow everybody out, but they blew Georgia, they blew Oregon out, excuse me. So don't make it seem like that. Indiana, this 2025 Indiana was not even the same Indiana, so don't do that. But go ahead. I mean, I was going to say, one thing I would say outside of that, which it is what it is, I don't think that's bad. Maybe bump them up one spot, or maybe to me,
it's easier. I mean, listen, let's go. I mean, these are good talking things, I guess, but really,
He hates preseason.
I hate these freaking things. I mean, can't you find something else? You're speaking of me being the best writer. And put that picture back up on there, that stupid list. My pen should be up on the screen and not this stupid Chris Lowe list. Because
why are you talking bad about Chris Lowe? That's our guy.
No, that's my guy. I'm not him. I'm just saying the list. My point is,
it's the dog days of summer, dude.
Will Kalen DeBoer punch his ticket again back in Atlanta? Will he get himself back into the playoffs? Will this team play with dominance and reckless abandonment? Will this team play with, catch this word, consistency at a level that we have become accustomed to seeing? That's the bottom line. They got a nice schedule that they're going to have an opportunity to, you know, rewrite the ship, so to speak. Will he be able to do that? Now, what year is this? Number three?
Yep.
Okay. I think this is the moving year. You know, we talk about in the draft. You're going that junior year. This is your moving year. This is your money year. I know he's got an extension, all this stuff, but this is a year. If we see much of the same, year number four will be keep him or fire him year. That's where he's at.
After his contract extension, I think year five.
Sometimes you get contract extensions just to get fired.
That's a little bit of a stretch. All right, we got to head out of here on this Talking Tuesday edition. Big thanks to everybody making it possible. Pastor Payne back in the mix. Always fun to have him on here. Big thanks to all you guys for the birthday wishes. Seriously, I appreciate you guys so much.
Send them super chats, saying it's not too late. Send them on in.
There he goes.
Adam Laparello with that $150 super chat for birthday. Adam Laparello, I'm calling you. You're not in court.
Okay. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Hope you guys have a great rest of y'all's day. We'll see you guys then.